So maybe would you like to know how I met Baba? Have you heard? If you have heard, then I'll tell something else.
No.
Most of you haven't heard?
No.
All right. So first you must understand my attitude to Baba. I belong to the Parsi community. And Baba was born in the Parsi Zoroastrian community, and Baba was born in the Zoroastrian community. As such, Parsi of the number of Parsis in the whole world is just 120,000 all over the world. It's a very close community. So mostly everybody, though we were in Karachi, mostly everybody had heard of Baba. So as a child, I'd also heard of Baba, but adverse reports, in the sense that we had for our neighbor one lady, Kaushik Pastakya. She was a disciple of Mer Baba, and in those days in Karachi, we were about 2,000, and maybe 4 or 5 disciples of Mer Baba, nobody more. So she was a neighbor of ours, and she was like a mother to me. I would keep running inside, in and out of her house, as though it belonged to me. So it so happened that this lady married late in life, and they had a few years of happiness, and then the husband developed burst appendix. I'm talking about the early 30s. Where we had no penicillin, no mycine, so burst appendix is finished, so within 24 hours he died. And this lady, after 2 months or so, died in childbirth. So there was an uproar in the Parsi community. See what happens to the disciples of Mer Baba, they die of burst appendix, they die in childbirth, as though it was something exceptional. Every day people were dying of appendix or in childbirth, but see, the finger was pointed. And so I had heard all of this. So this is my background. That God exists, I firmly believed. But that he can exist in the human form, I did not know. Nor would I have believed anyone if they had told me so 42 years back. So when, by accident, I came to know that my fiancé, with whom I had been going steady for the last 6 years, was a disciple of Mer Baba, it was a shock to me. 6 years, no word of Mer Baba, nothing, and suddenly, by accident, I hear it. I'm really upset, and that evening when he came, he was down below so many steps down, and I was waiting for him, and I shout out to him, "Adi, are you a disciple of Mer Baba?" Well, he looks up, poor fellow, he doesn't know what is happening, he just looks up and says, "Yes." I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" He says, "You never asked me." And so, that was my D-night. I was so restless, I couldn't sleep, I tossed and turned, I said, I don't want anything to do with this man, he's a charlatan, he's this, he's a pretender, I will not have anything to do with him. And so I passed that night, but in the morning, early dawn, I came up to a decision. I said, I love Adi, I will marry him, but I will see that he doesn't go to Mer Baba, but he goes in the opposite direction. So that was my decision. And that was the end. But now it so happened that Adi's mother, out of his whole family, his father, mother and 2 brothers, Adi's mother was a disciple of Mer Baba. And with Adi lived one man, Minu Karas, who brought the whole family to Baba. In the sense that he was the first one, he grew up as a son, like a brother to Adi, and he would call my mother-in-law mummy. He grew up as her son. And he met Baba in 1932 in Nasik, and he then told about Baba, and my mother-in-law accepted, and Adi accepted. So these 2 people and my husband were very clever for me. when we would be sitting alone, they would just quietly talk about Baba. And etiquette demanded that I should sit and listen. I just couldn't very well walk out of the room. And I listened. And listening, I came to a decision. Not decision, but I thought to myself, here are people who have seen Baba, who have met Baba, and they are giving us a completely a different picture from what, as a child, I had heard of Baba. These Parsi people, nobody had the moral courage to find out what was true, but they just kept on talking about Baba. So whom to believe? These people who have met and lived with Baba? So that thought came to me. Well, between the time I heard that Adi was a disciple of Mer Baba, our wedding was fixed. Say in 3 months, our wedding was fixed for the 1st of July, 1945. As a child, I always had this one yearning that when I got married, God will bless my wedding. And by blessing, I meant few drops of rain. To us, rain means blessing. So if he would just send me a few drops of rain, I would love it that God has blessed my wedding. So while sitting in Karachi one day, the wedding is just 3 or 4 days ahead, I throw a silent challenge to Mer Baba. In Karachi, Mer Baba is in Ahmednagar, or I don't know where he was at that time. And I tell him, if you are what they say you are, you'll send me heaven's blessings on my wedding day. And after throwing this challenge, in the hectic days that followed, I completely forgot about it. Remember this point, I completely forgot about it. You know how it is before the wedding. The first son to get married, it was a grand wedding, 1,000 people invited, and Karachi is like Ahmednagar, it has no rainfall in those days. Now that climate has changed, otherwise we wouldn't be fool enough to call 1,000 people and have the wedding outside in the garden of our big club. So no possibility of rain. And wedding preparations were going on and everything was fine. 1st July dawned, bright and sunny, lovely day. The invitations were for 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock, suddenly, clouds, black clouds started rolling in. As Adi puts it, they didn't roll, it was as though somebody was pushing them. And in a few minutes, the whole city was covered with black clouds. And before you could say Mer Baba, it poured. Cats and dogs. Karachi is never ready for rain. In half an hour, we had knee-deep water. Absolutely drowned. The whole city was drowned. You can understand that out of the 1,000 people, only 125 could come for the wedding. The very close ones and the very dear ones came up. That is how we wanted our wedding, but the parents wanted a grand wedding. Now on this side, I was coming in the bridal car. In those days, my dad had a car which had a sliding roof in the front. So the roof was closed, but it wasn't properly closed. So the rain was just pouring inside and we were sitting there and dodging in the car, the rain. So by the time I got out of the car, my wedding sari, the car was decorated with colored papers, but my wedding sari had streaks of red and green and yellow. All the color of the papers had come out of my wedding sari. But as we were going in the car, one of the family friends who was there, she told my mother, who was naturally in tears, says, "Why are you crying? God has come to your daughter's wedding." Of course, in those days, Baba wasn't known as the avatar. We knew him as Sadguru. So, God has come to your daughter's wedding. At that, suddenly I jerked up. And the thought comes to me, is it Mer Baba's doing? And then the thought goes out again. Nothing. Well, the ceremony took place and The minute the ceremony stopped, the rain stopped. And I can tell you, as a PS sort of, that during that whole year, we didn't have any rain in Karachi. That was the one day in the whole year that we had rain. Well, that was finished. But a few months later, this was in July, in December, my mother-in-law comes to me and says, I have to go for my medical checkup to Bombay. Will you accompany me? I said, certainly. So Adi, my husband, tells me that, look, Rhoda, Mummy and Meenu both are going. It means they will visit Mayor Baba. I want you to go with them to Mayor Baba. I said, certainly, I want to go too. And find out and prove to you what he is. So that was it. So we came. And sure enough, Meenu let Baba know that Rhoda is also with us. Baba says, bring her. So we took the train. And the train was late. It should come before 9 o'clock, but it was late. And we found Adi Senior waiting for us at the station. And he said, oh, your train is late. So Baba has given instructions that if the train is late, the ladies, Mera and Om, would have retired by then. So you bring the two ladies, Mummy and myself, to Lower Mehrabad, and they will sleep down. And in the morning, I will see them, and the ladies will also meet them. So we went in Adi's car, and Mummy and Meenu had a lot to talk with Adi. So we sat in the, when we reached Lower Mehrabad, we sat in the car, and they were talking and asking questions. It was past 10 o'clock. But suddenly, somebody shouts, Baba is coming, Baba is coming. And we all jumped out of the car. And first time in this life, I saw Baba by lantern light. Somebody was holding the lantern, and Baba was all covered up, and walking with his long strides. And for the first time I met him, he opened out his arms, gave me a hug, and I'm looking at him, and my mind says, so this is Mayor Baba. But the heart sort of went thump, thump, beautiful, what beauty. Sort of the heart had another, went on another track, the mind just takes us, so this is Mayor Baba. Well, then Baba greeted us and then said, come on, I will take you to the room where you have to sleep. And in the morning, Pila was the lady who was holding the lantern light, will come and wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Because at 6 o'clock, we had to go to the cinema to see a picture. Mind you, here I have come to denounce him. And when he says, be ready at 6 o'clock in the morning, we are going to the cinema, I accept it like an invitation to dinner and I'm very happy. It's a natural thing for the Sadhguru to do, to ask you to come to the cinema at 6 o'clock in the morning. So then we sort of, in those days, Ahmednagar in December was very cold. The bedding was rolled on the floor. It was so cold, middle of the night. I got up and my overcoat was there. I mean, Baba provided us with blankets and everything, but still it was so cold. But I wouldn't dare to take out my arm to catch the coat. But in the morning, sure enough, Pila came and open, and we had to go out in the cool air and wash our face and hands in the cold water and everything and be ready at 6 o'clock. Sharp at 6 o'clock, two buses came and we were asked to get into the first bus. And one seat was reserved for Mummy and myself, and suddenly Mummy says, Baba is there. So we were there here, and Baba and Mera were sitting in the seat, two seats behind us. I was so enamored by Baba, I kept turning and looking at him and staring at him and like this, again staring at him. My mummy felt so embarrassed by my behavior, she kept nudging me. She said, sit straight, but I couldn't resist. I just kept on looking at Baba. Well, we went to the cinema the sofa was next to Baba was reserved for us, and we saw. Mind you, in that that film, Baba sat through the whole film. I remember it was something to do with a horse, but I don't remember the name now. And when the film was finished, we came back. Immediately, lunch was served. I think it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Immediately, lunch was served. Everybody was so gracious to us. It was just plain dal and rice. But because we had come, Nadia found some pickles, some extra pickles from somewhere, or some yesterday's leftover, and she gave us that extra something. And it was so beautiful. And after that, the call came that Baba wants to see you and Mummy. In that room, where maybe you have seen that room where Mera always goes first. It's no, Mera's room.
That's the east room.
Huh? Upper the room. East.
No. Yeah. Opposite the museum, no?
That's yeah. Right. That's right. The other side of museum.
Is it east?
So that is where...
And that's the east.
East.
East. Huh? The east room. Mm-hmm. So that is where we were called. Baba was there. And Mummy had something to say. Then he turned to me. And he says, is there anything you want to tell me? I couldn't speak a word. I just kept shaking, and I was just looking at him, at his beauty, at his grace, at his everything, just absorbed in him. But all of a sudden, in my head, like a broken gramophone record, the words started going. You sent me heaven's blessings on my wedding day. You sent me heaven's blessings on my wedding. No matter how much I tried to thrust it back, it just kept on and on and on. But I never said a word. Baba never asked me. It was blissful meeting with Baba, with nothing to say. Just, and then Baba said, my nazar is on you. And I mean, whatever Baba had to say, he told me. And then says, now go and relax a little. In that day, the first day, I experienced Baba's sensitivity to our feelings, which no man on earth, I think, can have. The sensitivity to our real call of love, or if we call out to him from the heart, he answers. For instance, we were in the room now, which is the library room, down below, and I was talking with the women Mandali, when all of a sudden I felt we've had too much of talking. I just want to be alone, and I want to see Baba. And so I got up from that chatter and just walked up to the window in the room. And as I walked up, longing to see Baba, and as I walked up to the room from the other side, Baba just turned the corner, and we were face to face, his eyes meeting my eyes, and then he passed away. Second time also, as we were asked to board the bus, Baba and Mera were standing, saying goodbye to us. And then as we were passing, I longed from my heart, I wish Baba would touch me. Baba, just because the greeting had been over. And we were just asked to now board the bus. And Baba and Mera, as host and hostess, they were just standing there. So I, from the bottom of my heart, I wished Baba would touch me. And as I passed, Baba gave me a big thump on my back. And so I went back to collection. And looking back now, I see that soon after my father died, with my father and me, there was such a bond as is very rare to find between a father and a daughter. So much love and so much bond. Even as a child, if I was punished, I would run up to my father first thing at home and tell him, today the teacher punished me, or today the teacher told me this, or nothing I could hide. And so when I went to Karachi, I was trying to find a way to tell my father, because I knew that as a child they had the wrong impression about Baba. So one day I caught hold of him, and both of us were having tea, and I told my dad, I said, Daddy, do you know that you are fond of saints, and you pay respect to them. But I have been to the greatest of saints. Papa says, yes. Where? I said, in Ahmadnagar. Ahmadnagar? He says, in Ahmadnagar is Mayor Papa. I said, yes, I met Mayor Papa. I said, what? You met Mayor Papa? I said, yes, Daddy. But the reports that we had heard of about him are complete lies. What I have seen about Baba and the life that they are leading in the ashram, it is beautiful, Father. And Baba is really the Sadguru, as he calls himself, worthy of our devotion and love. My dad took it like this. And the next day he asked for Baba's books. And soon after he had a heart attack and he couldn't get up, but he kept Baba's books, discourses under his pillow or near his bedside table. So why I'm telling you this is soon after he died. But at that time, there were people, but then they went out to make some arrangements for the funeral. So Adi, myself and Mummy were left alone with my daddy. So immediately we went into the room and I started singing Baba's Aarti in front of his body. Then something else happened. So every time I turned to Baba for help, even though I hadn't accepted him, I felt that I hadn't accepted him. But looking back now, I feel that I must have totally accepted him. Otherwise, I would never turn to him when in the hour of need. So that's it. But a few years later, one day, by that time, Baba was known as the Avatar. And a few years later, one fine day, I just got up in the morning and I knew that something wonderful has happened to me. I just got up. I didn't know what it was. I just got up, walked up to the window of our house and just looked out. And the conviction that Baba is the Avatar, God in human form, just seeped through me. And that conviction has never left me. And one day Baba, years later, he told me, you are now for me 100%. Something happened. I said, you are now for me 100%. But now this rain story has a sequel. Then we will stop. This rain story has a sequel. In the sense that through the years, of course, we came very close to Baba. And the conviction that Baba had sent the heaven's blessings was absolutely, had seeped through us. But we had never spoken a word. But 18 years later, we were in Guru Prasad in Pune. And as we were sitting, Sarosh, Vilu, most of you know Vilu, and her husband Sarosh, walked in with his son Mervan, who had come from Europe to get married in Ahmadnagar. They live permanently in Ahmadnagar. Ahmadnagar is just like Karachi, no rain, nothing. So on the way, the son told Sarosh that I want to meet Baba. Sarosh, of course, was Baba's very old disciple. He was in raptures and he brought his son straight to Baba. And Baba, after the greeting, Baba asked him, yes, what is it? So the son tells Baba, Baba, I want your blessings on my wedding day. He gestured like this. Give it. Then he tells Sarosh that go to Ahmadnagar, have the wedding, and after the wedding, the next day, you, Vilu, the bride and the bridegroom, come to Pune for my darshan. I'm sitting there, I'm listening. Nothing clicks. With Baba now, nothing matters in his presence. 1 or 2 days later, Baba tells Airaj, why don't you phone up Sarosh at Ahmadnagar and ask him how the wedding preparations are going on? So Iraj phones and there Sarosh is shouting, tell Baba it's raining cats and dogs here and we had to change the place where we were having the wedding. Now it will be in the hall inside and etc. etc. So Iraj comes and reports. Still I'm sitting there. Still it doesn't click. I just hear it and out. Well, Baba doesn't say anything. And then one morning we are sitting and in walks Sarosh, Vilu, the bride and the bridegroom. After the usual greetings, Baba said to Vilu, well, how did the wedding go? And Vidu says, Baba, how it rained. Baba looks surprised. And he says, well, your son asked for my blessings. And I gave it to him. And then Baba is sitting here. And that day I was sitting parallel there where this lady is sitting. So Baba then turns like this and points to me and tells Vilu, ask Rhoda what happened on her wedding day. I mean, I knew 100% it was Baba's doing, but to hear it from his own lips, I mean, it took my breath away. And then I hear Erich's voice. Erich says, come on, Rhoda, we are waiting. What happened on your wedding day? So then I start. And as I am telling it, you see, and almost finished it, Baba stopped me in gesture. He says, you told them, but you forgot to tell them that after throwing the challenge to me, you forgot about it. And I told you that in the hectic days that followed, I completely forgot. It was only the family friend who said, God has come, then I suddenly remember. So even that small detail, he put it. So that's how I met Baba for the first time. Right, I think today we've had enough. Enough is enough.
Enough is never enough.
What? No? Then maybe it gives you indigestion sometimes.
One question, what was the detail that...
I beg your pardon?
The challenge for the rain,
yeah.
The blessing, was if you would believe in him if the rain came.
I just wanted the blessing. I wasn't interested in Mer Baba. I wasn't interested in Bir. It never occurred to me that I would become his disciple or I would believe in. I just said, if you are what they say you are, you'll send me heaven's blessings on my wedding day. No other.
So that wasn't what made you believe in him, the fact that the rain came.
I met him physically.
Right.
And my heart just accepted it. The beauty took my breath away, and the heart accepted. And then, as many things happened, even when my son was born, after I met Baba in 45, in wave in the sea, a wave with the name of Mer Baba resounding through me. I mean, I was nowhere thinking about Baba or had idea to think about Baba. And then the telegram comes, Adi Rhoda's son to be named Merwan. But even that was all right. I mean, he's all right, Sadhguru. But if that time they had told me he's God in human form, I would have run in the opposite direction. Because for the Parsis, we have the prophet, we have the messenger, but God can take a human form, it is impossible. But today it is we know that it's the most natural thing for God to do. Otherwise, how will he show us the way? If not by his own example, how is he going to show us the way? Even today, in my family, there's still bicep, sort of. So everything is all right, but that a man can be God, that is blasphemy. Of course, not so strong, but in the Muslim community it is strong. But that is very difficult for the Muslims and the Parsis to accept. And yet it's the most natural thing. Who else can he be?